He carried them on his pinions. The Lord alone guided him, and there was no foreign god with him. Verse 13, he made him ride on the high places of the earth, and he ate the produce of the field. He made him suck honey from the rock, and oil from the flinty rock, curds of cows and milk of the flock, with fat of lambs and rams, the breed of Bashan and goats, with the finest of the wheat and the blood of grapes, you drank wine. Now, my emphasis is verse 12. The Lord alone guided him. He was talking about Israel and talking about Jacob. And there was no foreign god with him. Let me ask you a simple question. You look at the life of Jacob. You look at the life of Israel as a nation. Did they have calamity? The Bible said the Lord alone guided him. And there was no Satan helping him. Are you seeing what I'm saying? I'm emphasizing. God says, I am the one that's guiding you. You know, I said, well, discover what he says about himself. He said, are you saying everything that happens in my life is perfect? Yes, under the circumstances, yes. There are blessings God won't bless you because it will give you a wrong message. Don't know what I heard I said. There are blessings that the Lord will not bless you with because if he did, it will give you a wrong message. I told you before, more important than what we shout prosperity and all of that. The kingdom of God, the Bible says, is not in food and drink. It's in righteousness, joy, in the Holy Ghost. That is, with God, it is more important that you learn the right lessons in life than you enjoy prosperity. Did you hear what I said? It is more important to him that you learn the right lessons in life than you enjoy prosperity. So if blessing you under some circumstances will make you think wrongly, then he has a duty to make sure that you fail under those circumstances so that you don't think. I mean, come on. David sinned at the time and God was very eager to forgive. But he said we need to point some lessons in your heart, in the heart of your children, and those who will have the faith of David, that behaving like this is wrong, even though I can forgive. Nathan said to him, the Lord has forgiven you and taken away your iniquity. David said, oh, well, thank God. He said, nevertheless. Ah. Hey, it wasn't funny. Is he not a loving God? Listen, the comfort of David for a few years was inferior to the lesson that all of us here will learn. So God said, David, suffer small. Nobody's had a vex. I don't forgive, and I never forgive. Say yes, he said, but just small suffering. Small. It's called the cleansing of unrighteousness. Just small. Are you getting my point? It's not the devil. Listen, it wasn't the devil in the life of David. It was God. I think we have overemphasized Satan and the devil in our lives. I don't like it, and I've prayed so much about it. I used to beg God, please don't let me fall sick. And I almost always hear him smile. You know what to do if you don't want to fall sick. You know, it's almost as if you can almost hear it. Why are you begging you don't want to fall sick? You know the right thing to do. Sickness has not been ever been because I'm so happy. I say, bank, let me rub your back small with fever. It's not the massage. If you don't go through some of these small ailments, he says, you will go through a big one from which you will not recover. So I need to sometimes allow some things to bring your head back to order. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? I was talking to a friend of mine, the other, that's Pastor Courage, you know, because he was in my house for a few days, and we spoke quite at length. We're discussing lessons I've learned in life, both from the things that happened to me and those of other people around me, people I love, people I read about, all right? Emphasizing the fact that God... Oh, go and read Kenneth Hagin. You know, if you're a preacher, you know, Kenneth Hagin said he's a prophet and a teacher. He was a prophet and a teacher. And I think his prophecies were less to the general body of Christ, all right, and more to the ministers thereof. More to the ministers thereof. In his prophecies, visions that God will give him, you see what the kind of things that the Lord would tell him. And if you are a preacher, read them. It will save your life. I keep on saying that thing. I keep on saying that. You cannot alone save the world, you know? You can't. You can take some time out to go and settle down and read and learn. Do you follow my point? You will see, he will read through it. Maybe you read through it, you will hear him say again and again how the Lord uses some things to correct people. And he said he corrects them, like he said concerning his own life, that the Lord said to him, there was a time he fell down, broke his arm. And the Lord let him know that if that didn't happen, 55 is the age you'll have died. Was it the devil that broke his hand? Yeah, I don't get into all of that theology. And the devil, the Lord said to me, it wasn't me, it was the devil. I said, Brother Hagin, let's hear. Shake your hand. The Lord was watching when your hand broke. And he used the opportunity to come and talk to you. Praise the Lord. And that saved your life and gave you 33 extra years on the earth. I said, that's good enough. So the Lord said to him, if I didn't correct you now, if we didn't have this discussion, if we did not have this discussion, he said 55, that's the age. The man finally lived to be, I think, 87 or 88. You are getting what I'm going to explain. The Lord is in your life, that here and amen. Amen. And there is no local idol with you. And there are no witches there. Yeah, we should get it clear. There's no devil hunting you around. He respects distance. Yes, he knows. He knows. He knows where to go. He knows where not to go. I mean, anytime something happens and my wife, because of the business she does, she loses some money. I said, how much was that? 50,000. I said, that has just saved you 50 million. Do you get my point? I said, listen, it is good now that you use 50,000 naira to learn a lesson that will cost you 50 million naira when God will have unleashed abundance upon you. So don't cry. Thank God for it. The time you really lose is when you learn nothing and you still lost money. And you start with them, whining, all these thieves in this country, how can I be stealing my money? I say, listen, this is costing you more. You lost money, praise the Lord. Use it to buy a lesson. You make an investment, it is wrong. Praise the Lord. You go and settle down and say, how did I get that investment? There are two levels to it. There's a spiritual level. What was pushing me? What was it that was pushing me? I was teaching today, where I went to teach earlier in the day, I said something to them. Listen, I've said it here severally. A Christian businessman is not in business first because of money. He's in business for two things. Number one, to render service. Number two, to establish righteousness. I don't know which one is first. All right, both of them are equal. All right, what do you mean to establish righteousness? To demonstrate to the earth how to do things rightly. Money is third. I said, therefore, don't let any man who's thinking only about money be a major shareholder in your business. It's not good. I'm going to read the story of Henry Ford. He quarreled with businessmen at least twice before he decided, I'm not doing business again with anybody. He refused to borrow money from banks for the same reason. He said, the banks don't seem to understand that this business is not about money. And by the time Henry Ford, the Ford Motor Company succeeded, he said, the success of this company is not just about the machine that has the name Ford on it. It is just a way by which I'm telling the whole world they are wrong in the way they do business, and I'm right. When Mary Kay Ash wrote her book, Miracles Happen, said this book was first written maybe 25 years before. He said, but it couldn't be published because then nobody would listen to it. He said, but now I can publish it and they will read it. Why? That Mary Kay Cosmetics allowed me to teach the world, that's the point, how to do business. That's not about the business. So for believers, No. It's not just about prosperity. It is crucial to God that you learn the right lessons in life. That's why you don't cry over every loss. My preaching to you today, I say, what does God say about himself? He said, I'm alone in your life and there's no local witch with me. Did you hear what I said? I alone am guiding you. When you stumble, don't worry. I will catch you. You won't be utterly disgraced. Your clothes go dirty small. Have you ever poured oil on yourself in an occasion? God said, don't worry, I will let that happen. But don't worry, that's nothing. But you must learn the lessons of life. It is not the devil. It's so important. That's my message for you today. I alone am guiding you. I alone am guarding you, and there is no local wish on wish at. Because those are the African problems. The spirit of the ancestors. Those ones only drink palm wine on the floor. Don't let them worry. You know, they point their libation to where? Those who drink their palm wine on the floor, why should you be worried about them? Do you get my point? Like I said, it's not as if there will be no challenges in your life. There most certainly will be. It is not a sign of the power of the devil. It is a fact that God is leading you somewhere. Ideally, I know, nothing should ever go wrong in your life. Yeah, that's true. But then how do we remove some of the rough edges that are very crucial to the manifestation of destiny if you can't call your attention to them through the means of things going wrong? I am God alone in your life and there is none else. And the fact that you have troubles and you've had challenges, you've had calamities, is no proof that the devil is God in your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is the message for today. In fact, let's read some more and then we're out of it. Okay, let's just read from verse 20. It says, gather yourselves and come. Draw near together, you fugitives of the nations. They have no knowledge, you carry about their wooden idol and pray to a God who cannot save. We read all of this. Okay. Verse 21 says, declare and set forth your case. Indeed, let them consult together. Who has announced this from of old? Who has long since declared it? Is it not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a righteous God and a Savior. There is none except me. He said, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone forth from my mouth in righteousness and will not turn back. What have I sworn concerning? That to me every knee will bow and every tongue will swear allegiance. They will say of me, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. Men will come to him and all who are angry at him shall be put to shame. In the Lord, all the offspring of Israel will be justified and with glory. The next line says, Baal has bowed down, Nebo stoops over. Their images are consigned to the beasts and the cattle. The things that you carry are burdensome, a load for the weary beast. They stooped over, they have bowed down together. They could not rescue the burden, but have themselves gone into captivity. That is the things that other people depended on. Just one verse I want to read and end this, or one segment. He said, remember this, verse 8, and be assured. Recall it to mind. Of course, we know you are in chapter 46 now. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. He said this in so many times in this segment. I am God and there is no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established. So he's God who is establishing his purpose in your life. And I will accomplish all my good pleasure. In doing that, I call a bird of prey from the east and the man of my purpose from a far country. Truly I have spoken. Truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it. Surely I will do it. Now, I've stopped reading. What I'm emphasizing here is that God is working out his purpose in your life. He is the God who is working out his purpose in your life. Baal has stooped down. Baal has bowed down, verse 1 of 46. Nebo stoops over. Those things refer to every other thing that tried to be like God in your life, which you often have paid attention to. And number one thing that God is doing is to eradicate them completely. It is crucial to God that any one of his children that will manifest divine destiny must have every other thing that pretends to be God in his life frustrated. And what do I mean by frustrated? Is that child of God that will suffer the frustration as long as his eye is on something else? If you go and reset the images, all right? anyone who worships them becomes like them. Usually where children of God suffer, alright, is where they put their mind, their eyes on anything else apart from God. May God not burn your certificate to prove to you that he doesn't need it to make you prosper. But he will if you don't take your eyes away from it. There are people you are praying for their life that they will live. And God says, it is because of you they will die if you do not take your eyes away from them as if they were God. Baal bows down as Nebo stoops over. Why? Because God is executing his vengeance upon every competition towards him in your life. There is no other God can stand it. He said, why am I doing all of this? Because my purpose will be established. My purpose will be established. There are people who will get transferred because of you. You want to marry him by force, God will transfer him. Hey, I'm telling you. One man told me something when I told the story before. He applied for British visa. They denied him. He applied a second time. They denied him. And those days, it's not now. Each application was costing almost a whole month's salary for a young doctor. Not a joke. Each application, you know, visa fees, was costing, yes, quite a huge chunk. So when he says he applies and they deny, no big joke. The third time the man told him, go ahead, I will help you out. And the man told him how he was going to help him and everything. So he applied and he called the man to remind him that tomorrow is the interview. When he got to the office, when the phone got to the office. So, you did not hear. What happened? He died yesterday. You hear what I said? Not a joke. The man ran to my office and said, Pastor Banky, I must talk to you. This was many years ago, not now. I'm telling you the story of like 14 years ago. He said, no, I need to talk to you. I felt like, in my mind, what more do you want God to do? Destroy the British embassy before you get the point. You went with all your papers correct. He said, no. You went with everything second and they said no. A man asked, he said, I will help you. Don't worry. 2 days before the interview, the man died. If it was Banky, I would take my passport. I would toss it as a... You know, Christians don't know how to give sacrificial gifts to God. They think God takes money. God takes every other thing apart from money. Unless money is just a quote for one of those things that he takes. He also takes international passport. Throw it into the fire. It will rise up as a sweet smelling sacrifice. Go and listen to Pastor Paul Adi Farasi's story. This was a man who got his first degree from United States of America. That's why he went to university. He had pastored in UK. Then he came home. He wanted to go back. They said, sorry, you can't go back. Ha. Hey, you know, Nigerians say, once you have gone once, they will give you this one. He didn't go once. He had lived in everywhere. And if you know what his family was like, as a young boy, he went everywhere. He was schooling in the U.S. His brother went to school in the U.K. His father had money. And he had pastored in that same country. And he wanted to go back and they said, no. No. The man vexed. Of course, you know us Christians will go home. And if you know, I don't know how Pastor Paul is now, but those days, he trained with Duncan Williams. And Duncan Williams are the kind of people that can butt through a concrete wall with prayer. I can imagine he went home. Doors be open. I command the doors holding, blocking the gates of hell between here and United Kingdom. Be open. My back was just looking like this. If I shut the door, British ambassador cannot open it. I can imagine. Pentecostal prayer. You can't use that prayer to terrorize God. Only the devil is afraid of your prayers. The Lord is not. After a while, the man talked to himself. He gathered some of his friends. And maybe, I don't know. I want to add this one to it. Maybe they started praying about the visa. Maybe that's where their prayers started from. I don't know. But he gathered some of his friends and they began to pray in his mother's sitting room. And that was how House on the Rock started. I'm sure now he's thankful to God. Say, God, you know, you almost gave me that visa. Thank you. Thank you. Are you getting my point? I mean, I'm sure he has prospered if you are talking outwardly. More than he would have prospered in the UK. God said, I'm the only one in your life, not be two of us. Your grandmother's witchcraft died with her. Africans must hear these things. And by for your information, any prophet who tells you that it is the witch, tell him, Pastor Bank said he's a false prophet. I'm not nice again, no. Not like this, you know, you don't want to be critical. Because if you're not critical, Christians will not be helped. I see senior believers packing their Bibles, saying their problem is they are going to MFM for prayer against their enemies. I just know you didn't learn anything all your lives of Christianity. All those years of your Christianity, you didn't learn anything. You failed all the spiritual courses. You have been withdrawn from the university, you don't know. You've been a Christian for 20 years. And they still give you prayer point. 16 against your enemies. 17 against witches. 18 against evil spirit. 19 sending back to sender. Nothing that's coming from anybody. And you don't have enough common sense to know it's a big joke. I've been sent by God to tell you something's wrong with you. Come out and be separate. There is no witch with him. Did I hear an amen?
Amen?
God alone is God in your life. Did I hear an amen?
Amen?
There are no enemies. They can shoot anything they want. Vanity upon vanity. All is emptiness. It's like shooting arrows made of wind. That's Solomon. And I believe him. Are you getting my point? God says, I am your God. And there is none else. I think that's a good way to summarize this thing, what God says about himself. I am your God and there is none else. Without me, there is none other. I am the Lord in your life. Jesus died to make sure that I'm your father. I'm your father and there's nobody else. I am the only one that's allowed to flog you. Something happened in my house today. It's interesting. My son was misbehaving. And Uncle Shimon decided to beat him. And my daughter said, are you a daddy? You are uncle. You know, from where I was, I laughed. She's like, what gave you the right? In fact, she said, are you a daddy? You are uncle. And I'm prophesying to you today. Your cane is only in the hand of the Father. It's not in the hands of any witch. It's not in the hands of any devil. Your cane is only in the hand of the Father. You have no business spending whole night sending fire back to strangers who are just living in trees innocently. They left the house for you. The witch went to sleep in a tree and you still won't leave him alone in the tree. You said you're a wicked soul. All those your prayers are prayers of fear. Yes, you are afraid of the witch inside the tree. If you are not afraid, you will have said, Pastor, he's in the tree. I leave him there now. After when Jesus cast out demon from a man, he said, let us enter into pig. Jesus said, have fun. Enjoy. Thank you. You want to leave a human being and go into pig? The Lord said, it's good now. Oh, boys, what do you think? Oh, the angels say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Oh, yeah, let them go into the pig. Now, these ones have started in the tree, and you say we'll not leave them alone. How can you imagine Jesus come and say, I hear there are witches in this tree. Oh, you witches in this tree. Come out, come out, come out. Oh, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. He is your God alone. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
He is the Father. Your cane is in his hand. And more importantly, your blessings are in his hands. I said your blessings are in his hands. And nobody can stop it in the name of Jesus Christ. Hear ye the word of the Lord. He said, I am your God and there is none else. Hear it one more time. He said, I am your God and there is none else. I am your God and there is none else. Father, we give you thanks.